Thank you, Jackson. If you have your Bible, open with me to John, the third chapter. John, the third chapter. We're taking a break from 1 Corinthians. And John, the third chapter, beginning in the beginning. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would challenge us, that you would change us. Father, I pray for those in this room that have never been born again, that today they may be touched in their heart, today they may be moved to surrender to you, and today, Father, they may find that new birth. And for those of us that know you, Father, that we would commit as never before to serve you. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. The phrase born again, it certainly is not new to those of you that have been in this church for a while, but on the broader sense, it's not being heard very much. It was here in force for a period of time. It came back after President Nixon. It's a strange thing to say and a strange way for it to come into being. But a man by the name of Charles Colson, one of the henchmen of Nixon, had a transformation in his life that could only be phrased by saying that he was born again. He wrote a book about the change that had turned him from a hardened, vicious individual to a loving, saved, heaven-bound, born-again individual. And the only thing Chuck Colson could say is, "I have been born again." Our President Jimmy Carter, the president from Georgia, the president that some of us would have liked to have been, he's been so great since he's been president. It would have been great if he could have gone to that to start with. But let me tell you one great thing Jimmy Carter did while he was serving as president. He stood boldly and proclaimed that he, the President of the United States, had been born again. Would that today we would have individuals stand with such faith. At the Southern Baptist Convention, Becky and I were honored to be there when Vice President Pence came to speak. And you know, in today's world, no one can speak at any point in time without somebody causing a fuss. But Vice President came to speak, and he came to speak, and not necessarily to politicize, he came to evangelize. The Vice President of the United States spoke without any embarrassment, hesitation at all. He named the name Jesus, and he left no doubt that he had personally been born again. Praise God for his stand and pray for him that he make that stand. That's not a political statement. That is a spiritual statement. We need people in office that have been born again and that act like it. That second part is very important. I tried to witness to a man once, and I was talking to him about Jesus and about his life, and finally, he just said, "Well, wait a minute, let me stop you right there. I want you to know that I am a Christian, but I'm not one of those born-again people." Let me tell you, if you have never been born again, you are not any type of Christian. You can't be saved, you can't be heaven bound if you have not been born again. This is a Bible term. It's not a Baptist term. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. In John 1:12, we hear, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. How do you become the children of God? Well, you've got to be born again. 1 John is filled with the phrase born of God. James 1:18 says, of his own will, of God's own will, he has begotten us with the word of truth. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us by the washing of regeneration. Now, regeneration doesn't sound like born again, but regeneration is born again. Regeneration is the word that theologians like to use. In today's churches, they talk of reformation. We need to reform. Just make people better. The world seeks reformation. The world needs regeneration. Regeneration is putting a new suit on the man. Reformation is putting a new suit on the man. Regeneration is putting a new man in the suit. Reformation is a cover-up. Regeneration is an unveiling. If you have been born one time, the sad news for you is you are going to die twice. But if you have been born twice, you're only going to die once. That's the difference regeneration makes. Now, I hope you're not surprised by this. I want you to be born again. I don't want you to leave here without being born again. And if you don't know you have been born again, we're going to give you the opportunity to be born again in this very service. You're going to have that chance. Don't pass it by. The greatest sermon on being born again is found in this third chapter of the Gospel of John. It was preached by a man named Jesus, and it was preached to a man named Nicodemus. In John 3:1, it says there was a man named Nicodemus. Now, this ties us to the preceding chapter. If you read the second chapter of John, you will notice that there Jesus cleansed the temple. If you ever have a question about what type of man Jesus was, read about Jesus cleansing the temple. You know, all those pictures of Jesus through the years, the wispy, flimsy fella, let me tell you, Jesus was a man's man. Jesus was a man of strength. And if you doubt that, look at the fact that and how he cleansed the temple. At the conclusion of chapter 2, we're told that there were many believing. Now, they were believing, the Bible says, because of the miracles that he did. Listen, if you go to heaven, you won't go to heaven just because Jesus did miracles. You will go to heaven because Jesus gave a sacrifice. In 2:24, it says, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew them and had no need that any of them should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Jesus looked at them, he looked at their hearts, and they looked like they were following him, but they weren't. They were very shallow. Today, Jesus looks at you and he looks at your heart and he knows what you really are, who you really are, and whether or not you are truly saved, whether or not you are truly born again. If you're going to go to heaven when you die, then you've got to allow Jesus Christ to come into your heart and change your heart. Today, Jesus knows if you are saved or lost. There is a must about this thing. In verse 7, it says, you must be. Every time Nicodemus is mentioned in John's gospel, the statement is made that he came by night. I've heard so many messages preached about Nicodemus coming by night. People will indicate that Nicodemus must have been a coward because he came by night? Well, I'm going to give Nicodemus the benefit of the doubt. Nicodemus could have been working all day, and so he came by night. Nicodemus could have seen that Jesus was busy all the day, and so he came by night. Nicodemus could have been convicted in his heart, didn't want to wait till the next day, and so he came by night. Let me tell you, if Jesus gets a hold of your heart, you're not going to want to wait. Listen, if God's got a chance to change your heart and take you to heaven, why in the world would you want to wait? Why would you want to wait to receive what he has for you? Well, I'll just come next week and do it. Will you? Who would tell you to wait a week? Who would tell you to wait a day? Jesus thought it was so important. He came from heaven, died for you on a cross, gave himself for you. It was so important to him. You think he would want you to wait? Well, the only one that would possibly want you to wait is the devil. And why in the world would you want to do what he wants you to do? There is a must if you are going to be born again. You've got to have a personal encounter with Jesus. I believe Nicodemus came at night because he wanted to have a personal encounter with Jesus. There's an urgency to coming to Jesus. There's a necessity of coming to Jesus. I am sure that when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he really in his heart wanted to be told, "Don't worry about it, Nick, you're okay." That's how a lot of people live. Hey, it doesn't matter. God knows I'm okay. It's kind of like God gave you a secret handshake and you know you're going to get into heaven with it. You're okay. Let me tell you, my friend, if you die in your sin without Jesus Christ, you are not okay. Scripture says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus really wasn't right for what he heard. He was taken back by it. Jesus didn't make a suggestion. He didn't say, well, you can be born again or you can't be born again. It really doesn't matter. Not Jesus. Jesus said, this is the decision that you must make. This is not one way to get to God. By the way, that's the salesman's logic of the day. Just one way. Oh yeah, you can do that Jesus thing, or just live a good life. Hell is going to be full of people who lived a good life. I don't care how good you are, how good you think you are, how good your mama thinks you are. If you do not surrender your heart to Jesus Christ and be born again, you are lost. And you don't have God working in your life, and you will never have God's eternity, and you will not see heaven. Nicodemus was a pretty good guy. It says in 3:1, there was a man. You know, you need to be born again because of humanity. Humanity is sinful. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you looked at Nicodemus, you wouldn't see a guy that you thought was a sinner. I mean, this is a guy that was in synagogue every week. This is a guy that was a tither. You know, most people would have been excited about him. This is a man who was wealthy. He didn't look like he needed to be born again. Find me a drug addict, they look like they need to be born again. Find me a thief, they look like they need to be born again. An alcoholic in the gutter, he looks like he needs to be born again. A person in rampant immorality, yes, they need to be born again. But Nicodemus, a church-going, respected businessman, he was rich. Tradition says he was one of the three richest men in Jerusalem. He was not only rich, he was very rich. His name was prominent. Of all the families in Jerusalem, his family was chosen to appear before Caesar. At Jesus' death, he was so wealthy, he was able to bring myrrh and aloes, which were extremely expensive. In our world, people think if you got money, you got it all. Well, let me tell you, you can have a lot of money, and it will not buy you interest into heaven. He was respected. It's wonderful to be respected. I hope you have a good name among men. He was religious. He was a Pharisee. These were the most moral people of their day. They knew their Bible. He could give a theological phrase. In fact, he spoke to him in theological phrases. In verse 2, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for nobody can do these signs unless God be with him." Doesn't that sound good? You do know that's wrong. That statement is as wrong as it can be. Jesus is not a teacher come from God. Jesus is God who came to teach. There is a big difference in that understanding. If I asked you if you were going to go to heaven when you die, you might say, "Well, sure, I was baptized. Sure, I came to church almost every Sunday. Sure, I tithe. Sure, my mama loves me." You can have all the good stuff stacked up you want to stack up. All of that will not erase one sin in your life. Unless you have been born again, you will not go to heaven when you die. Jesus said that. If you don't like it, take it up with him. The need of humanity demands you be born again. "Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin. We are born with a sinful nature. All have sinned in their nature, but all have sinned in their choice." That's you and that's me. You cannot live a good enough life to erase any sin, not even what you consider a small sin. How can you get rid of it? Only the blood of Christ can get rid of it. And praise God, the blood of Christ can get rid of it. You must be born again because of the nature of God, but also because of the nature of heaven. In verse 3, "Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Many have said it, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. This phrase, "you must be born again," can actually be translated, "you must be born from above." You see, this is a God thing. You have to have a personal encounter with Almighty God. In 2 Peter 1:4, the Bible talks about being partakers of the divine nature. You see, you cannot get into heaven if you have not gotten heaven into you. You get that? You see, I'm going to go to heaven when I die, not because I look good, not because I'm so charming, not because I'm eloquent, not because, you've let me stay here for 37 years, not because my mama thought I could sing. You know, I'm going to go to heaven only because I accepted what Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary's cross. I invited him to come into my heart. And when I did, heaven came into me. I'm going to go where Jesus is going to go. And because Jesus is in me, when I die, Jesus is going to heaven. I'm going with him. And that's the only way you can go. You need to have a no-so salvation. You don't need to think it. You don't need to guess. Are you going to be in heaven when you die? Well, maybe. I don't know. I hope so. Boy, that's a tough way to go to death. How I have grieved with people that have struggled at the point of death, not knowing whether or not they will have entrance. Listen, if you believe God's word and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will have entrance into glory. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will not have entrance into glory. You got to have Jesus in your heart. One preacher was asked, well, preacher, when I get to heaven, how am I going to get that robe over my wings? And the preacher looked at him and said, you better be concerned about how you're going to get a halo over those horns. You got to have a nature change. You got to allow Jesus to change your nature. You must be born again. There's a mystery about it. He says, how can these things be? How can a man be born? He's puzzled about it. He's confused at the saying. He's thinking physical birth, not spiritual birth. Listen, being born again is a God thing. God has to be involved in it. Somebody said, don't believe anything until you can understand it. If you wait till you can understand salvation, you will never get salvation. There's a lot of things you believe that you don't understand. Listen, I don't understand the complexities of electricity, but I praise God for air conditioning. Don't let the mystery make you miss the blessing. Nicodemus gets confused. Jesus will take you from right where you are. We have a song we sing, Just As I Am. Well, just like you are, just like you are at this moment, Jesus will take you where you are, and he will move you to where you need to be. He says that you've got to be born of the Spirit. He talks about being born of water and born of the Spirit. Now, people have used that to talk about a lot of things that it is not. What is water? Well, it does not mean baptism. That's not what that's talking about. Does a person need to be baptized? Well, you're not saved by being baptized, but if you are saved, you need to be baptized. That's a move of obedience. Water does not mean baptism. Some have said, well, that water is by the Word. Be baptized by the Word. Well, you need to receive the Word. The Word is truth, but that is not what this means here. Some have said, well, John the Baptist preached repentance. This water means repentance. You got to have repentance. You do have to have repentance, but that's not what this is talking about. In verse 6, he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Water refers to physical birth. Being born physically is being compared by Jesus to being born spiritually. Some people overthink this. It's very simple. Birth produces life. Jesus produces life. Being born again produces life. Birth is a one-time event. Being born again is a one-time event. You don't need to get saved this week and get saved next week and get saved the next week and keep getting saved. That would mean you just keep getting lost. That would mean Jesus' blood wasn't enough to save you to start with. Let me tell you, what my Jesus did on Calvary's cross is enough to save me not for a day, but for all eternity. Birth causes pain. Well, Jesus went through great pain on the cross. Birth means no past, only future. Praise God, spiritual birth means the past is gone. The sin is forgiven. We have a future in eternity with Jesus. They feel a breeze come through, and Jesus uses that. He said, you feel the breeze. You might not be able to explain the breeze, but you feel the breeze. You feel the effects of the breeze. Listen, you may not see God's Holy Spirit, but you can see what God's Holy Spirit does in a life. We've got a whole room of people that have been transformed by God's Spirit touching their lives and moving through their lives and changing their lives. You see someone come to Jesus and then you see the effects of God's Spirit in their life. You've got to be born again. There is a must to it. There's a mystery about it. There's a method. Verse 9. How can these things be? Now, instead of the mystery, here he's talking more about, okay, how can this happen? Verse 10, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Jesus says, you're supposed to be the one that's teaching other people about this and you don't understand it? You don't know what I'm talking about? Verse 11, most assuredly, he says, verily, verily. Whenever God says, verily, verily, most assuredly, truly, truly, amen, amen, he's saying, listen. He's saying, this is important. He's saying, you need to get this. He tells of the Savior's part of salvation. Verse 13, he came down from heaven. Jesus had to come down from heaven. Why did Jesus have to come down from heaven? Had Jesus, the perfect Son of God, not come down from heaven, then he could not have been nailed to a cross. And had he not been nailed to a cross for your sins and my sins, there would be no forgiveness, there would be no hope. There would be no way, and you could not be born again, and because you could not be born again, you could not enter heaven. Praise God, Jesus did his part. He went through the cross for you. And all you have to do is receive him. Verse 15, your part. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God doesn't want you to perish. By the way, there's some people teaching a heresy today that says that God ahead of time has chosen who's going to go to heaven, who's going to go to hell. That would mean that God has chosen people to perish. That's not what the Bible says. God says he does not want you to perish, but to have everlasting life. But to do that, you've got to believe. You've got to receive. You've got to accept Jesus into your heart. Listen, if I could do it for you, I would. I can't. I can't. You know, I'm just a lowly Baptist preacher. I can't change your life. I can't force you into a decision. I don't know if you've ever been around an alcoholic. I have talked to alcoholics about the thing that was killing them. I've talked to them about the reality that their drinking was ruining their family. I've talked to them about how it was draining their finances. They couldn't afford anything. They were spending it all on alcohol. I've pleaded with them, leave it alone. And you know what good all that has done? Zero. You see, they've agreed with me. But until an alcoholic decides for themselves, I've got to change, they will never change. I can't force an alcoholic not to drink. And until a sinner decides that they are a sinner and they need Jesus and they are willing to accept him, I can't force a sinner to be saved. But I can tell you the truth, and I hope it gets into your mind, and I hope it gets into your heart, and I hope you understand it, and if you have already done it, I hope you will have the decency to tell people who are going to hell how they cannot go there. The truth is, Jesus came from heaven. Jesus lived a life of perfection. Jesus died for you on Calvary's cross. Jesus suffered, bled, and died, not because he deserved to die, but because you and I deserved that punishment. He went through it all for you. He paid the price for you. He bought your forgiveness on that cross. He was buried. He rose again. And today he wants to be in your heart. He wants to change your life. And he wants to give you an eternity in his heaven. Now, my friend, you need Jesus because you need Jesus. You need to know God. You need to know his love. You need to know his care. You need to know his forgiveness. Do you need him to get to heaven? Yeah, but you don't get Jesus to get to heaven. You get Jesus to get Jesus. And the rejoicing of that is that you get heaven. That's an extra. But you have to choose. You got to choose. I don't care if you've been in a thousand church services. If you have never been born again, today you need to be born again. I don't care if you have been baptized in every pond in Georgia till all the frogs know you by name. You need to be born again. I don't care if you are the worst possible person that the world has ever known. You need to be born again. In just a moment, we're going to give an opportunity for you to just walk down an aisle and say, I want Jesus. Through those simple words, you're telling me that you're making the choice. We will pray together, and Jesus today can come into your heart. Jesus today can change your soul. Jesus today can give you new birth. Don't leave here without it. You have the opportunity today to be born again. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for each person that's here. I thank you that you brought us to this time, Father, for hearts to be changed, for lives to be transformed, for you to do a work in individuals' hearts and lives, Father, that they must have. Lord, I pray that right now individuals would know if they have not been born again and that they need to be. I pray that right now, Father, that you would be putting on people's hearts the decision they need to make. Father, that they don't need to stand back, but they need to come forward. Father, some have already made that decision, but they've not followed you, Father. They've not become part of a church family. They've just kind of drifting, Lord. I pray that today would be a day that they would pick up with you, Father, where you want them to be. I pray for those that need a church home, Father, that you would guide them, and if this is the place, make it clear and let them become part of this family. Father, we pray for those that know you, that we would serve you with all of our hearts, that we would make a difference in the lives of those around us. And Father, we would pray for the lost. Move in our hearts today. Draw us to decisions. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you come?